There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport, the latest headlines, and top debate. This is The Grill with Tom Urquhart on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Start with the Premier League. Chris McCarthy's watching the early kickoff for us. What you got?
75 minutes on the clock. It remains Manchester United 0, Tottenham 0. The heavens have opened, as they regularly do over in Manchester. It's been a poor game in truth, though. It really has. We've seen Antonio Valencia just flash a strike just over from the edge of the area. Romelu Lukaku as well, at an angle, galloped through on the left-hand side, pulled out a wonderful save from Hugo Lloris. Other than that, though, there's not been much quality in this match, and as things stand, the real winner of this game will be Manchester City. They've got a chance to extend their lead at the top of the table this evening when they take on West Bromwich Albion. Still 15 minutes for that to all change, but it is at Old Trafford, Manchester United 0, Tottenham 0.
Valencia still second in La Liga. They took all the points at Alaves a little earlier on today. Full-time down there. Alexis with the goal for Alaves, equalising the early goal from Zaza, but Rodrigo with from the penalty spot, sealing the points for Valencia. They now sit in second position, just 1 point behind Barcelona, yet to play this weekend. Mark Archer's watching the rugby for us. Arch, what's the latest?
Yeah, early kickoff in the French top 14. It's Toulon taking on Brive. It's 3-0 to Toulon. Early penalty there after 3 minutes to Francois Trindouk. So 5 minutes gone, Toulon 3, Brive 0.
Let's get to the Championship and Scotland as well. Get some updates from McCarthy. He's just filling himself in with the details there. Some goals up in Scotland.
There have been goals aplenty. Let's start in Scotland if we can, because it's all turned around at Tynecastle. Hearts did take the lead through the former Rangers striker Kyle Lafferty. Rangers levelling things up. Kenny Miller brought in from the cold today, just as I say, that wonderful opportunity for Spurs in the early kickoff in the Premier League. Dele Alli there ghosting in. Wonderful little ball in from Christian Eriksen. Dele Alli gutted, disappointed that he didn't do a little bit more with that. What a ball it is from Eriksen, how he finds the angle, and I think it's just Chris Smalling does enough to put Dele Alli off from what would have been, and he should really do better. Watching it on the replay, he should really do an awful lot better. I can tell you, Tom, up in Scotland though, it is Hearts 1, Rangers now 3, Josh Windass adding a third goal, so it looks as if the points will be heading back to Ibrox after they sacked their manager this past week. Pedro Caccinha gone. It's Graham Murty who's taking over on a caretaker basis, and it looks as if he will get the 3 points.
One apiece in the Championship as well. Sheffield Wednesday with the early goal in the first half, just been equalised as well. Barnsley have got that goal back, and it looks like Harvey Barnes is the man who has been credited with the goal. So let's get back to the Premier League. Obviously ongoing action at the moment, which the boys are watching here in the studio. Just at 6 o'clock this evening, so in around about 55 minutes time, we'll be turning our attention to our 6 o'clock kickoff here in the UAE, 3 o'clock back in the United Kingdom. And that one, Chris McCarthy, will be...
It is Arsenal against Swansea, and I'm delighted to say that joining us live on the line will be the man that's commentating that match this evening. It is Adam Bridge, good friend of the show now, is Adam. We catch up with him on a regular basis. A very good afternoon to you, Adam.
Good afternoon, guys.
Great to have you on the show as always, Adam. Let's start, if we can, by looking ahead to our featured match on Dubai 103.8. And just as I say that, oh my goodness, Romelu Lukaku hits the post for Manchester United. We'll look ahead to our 6 p.m. game though, Adam. Arsenal, lot been said this past week. They had an AGM, a lot of discontent in the ranks at Arsenal Football Club. I remarked to a friend last night, Adam, I've just got a sneaky feeling that this is shaping up to be Arsene Wenger's last season in charge. I don't know if you share that view, and what did you make of some of the comments coming out of that meeting with the Arsenal hierarchy this week?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because what you saw ultimately was that the minor shareholders are incredibly dissatisfied with the entire setup of the football club from top to bottom. However, the power of Kroenke and the amount of sway he carries when it comes to those kind of votes with his block vote meant the status quo very much continues at Arsenal. Will it be his last season? Well, I think we've all asked ourselves that question many times over, isn't it? It's his 800th Premier League game today. His 400th at home in charge of Arsenal. Only Sir Alex Ferguson, of course, managed managed to outlast that, managing 810. So it's a huge occasion for him this afternoon, but you do feel that time is probably up, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic that Arsenal at home this season so far have been very impressive. 100% record, 4 wins out of 4. In fact, they're unbeaten in their last 12 at home, and yet they still find themselves 9 points behind Manchester City, which says it all. The most complete performance you can imagine last Sunday against Everton. Obviously a poor Everton side, but still, the way Arsenal performed was pretty fantastic. And that you just feel that today could be another one of those banana skins, because Swansea's record against Arsenal at home is pretty good. And I think that sums up the frustration, and it sums up why you may well be right, and this may well be Arsene Wenger's last season in charge, because the frustration is growing with key people throughout the Emirates. They won't show it too publicly yet, but you think at the end of the season maybe that discussion happens, and if anything, they start looking now as to who is the person to replace Wenger going forward.
Realistically, Adam, I mean, what is the target for Arsenal this season? I think even the most hardened Arsenal fan would probably say that the league title looks a little bit beyond them, given the fact that Manchester City looks so good. So what would be a successful season for the Gunners?
Well, it's always beyond them, isn't it? It's always beyond them, and I'm going to just stop talking because I've got a monitor in front of me that tells me that Man United have just scored.
Well, you're ahead of it for us. We're going to catch up over here in the Middle East. We're just seeing it right now. It is Anthony Martial. It just shows you out here we're about 30 seconds behind, Adam. The powers of live radio. Romelu Lukaku, it is. It's Route 1 football. It is hoof football is what they call it. Manchester United, or the fans don't call it. Romelu Lukaku is he that heads it on, and it's Anthony Martial. The substitute gallops on. It's not the tidiest of finishes, but it's enough. Past Hugo Lloris, his compatriot, into the far corner. Manchester United have taken the lead in what has been a poor, poor match, it's got to be said. But United, they needed the 3 points today to keep the pressure on Manchester City. We're watching a replay of it now. It's just a long ball downfield from David De Gea. It's an offside. It's a flick on from Romelu Lukaku. Poor defending. Is that Toby Alderweireld that gets done too easy? It might actually be Eric Dyer. Far too easy there. And United take the lead. Anyway, Adam, that is United. Thank you very much.
Sam Allardyce would have been proud of that, wouldn't he?
He certainly
would have loved that goal.
He certainly would have loved that goal. Route 1 back to front very quickly. But that's a big goal for United in this, I say title race, it's still early on in the season, but it did shape up this game to be one that both teams kind of needed to win, right?
It did. I think the pressure was probably more on United playing at home, and particularly after that performance against Liverpool. But, you know, this is typical Mourinho. I mean, expect now a couple of, well, he's only got one substitution left, but expect to see another defender arriving just to see this game out. It's the way he does it. And again, you know, you go back to what Arsenal's kind of target was for the season. You know, for me, it was getting back in the Champions League. That's the only target they could have set themselves. Yes, I think they felt as though buying Lacazette gave them another option and gave them something going forward. But with all the off-field wranglings with Ozil and with Sanchez throughout the summer, you always felt that really their sole objective, as has been their objective for the best part of the last 10 years, is to get in the top four. And that, you see, is the difference between, you know, you won't see Arsenal doing what Manchester United have done today. You won't see them grinding a game out until the 80th minute and then going route one and then scoring a goal, because that's just not how Arsene Wenger believes football should be played. And that's the difference between him and Mourinho. And that's why, you know, since 2002, Mourinho has 20 trophies. Arsene Wenger doesn't quite have as many.
Adam, we were remarking earlier in the show, I thought that in North London particularly, the Spurs are really now setting the scene. I think you can argue pretty successfully that they are the dominant team currently on form in the last 2 years, particularly in North London. But just to put this into context, this match for Arsenal, it's such an important game for them because they've got City next weekend, and then of course they've got the North London derby against Spurs, so they really need a victory this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a wretched run of fixtures coming up. Obviously, they're playing the Europa League on Thursday night as well. But yeah, those two fixtures that come post, obviously pre and then post international break, either side of it, you know, City away and then Spurs at home, they are massive, massive games. This game against Swansea, and that's not wrong. Apart from last year, Swansea had won on two of their previous visits to the Emirates. In fact, outside of Chelsea, they're the most successful team ever to go to the Emirates Stadium. So Swansea do seem to have a little something over Arsenal, and it won't be straightforward today. It It won't be simple. I was here again last year for the game where they won 3-2, and they were lucky to come away with a 3-2 Arsenal, having been cruising earlier in the game. So it's so important, with that gap already at 9 points between themselves and Man City. They can't allow the likes of Spurs, they can't allow the likes of Chelsea, they can't allow the likes of Manchester United to get away from them in the race for what for them is purely only a battle to get in the top four and get back in the Champions League next season.
We'll get team news from you in just a second, Adam. A quick word on Swansea. Paul Clement, he's got a tough task there, aren't they? I think Swansea will be in a relegation dogfight come the end of the season, certainly. But what do you make of his tenure thus far, and are Swansea moving in the right direction?
I think they are, in terms of the style of football they're playing. I think what he's done is he's certainly solidified the team up, which was fairly important. They're struggling at home, which is not what you expect of Swansea. You know, they spent most of last season unable to get a result away from home, and yet on the road so far this campaign, they've only had one defeat. And obviously one of the things they did was manage to go to North London last time out and get themselves a 0-0 at Wembley against Spurs. So they've shown that they can frustrate, they can mix it with the big boys when they're on the road. And he has got a slightly more defensive approach, obviously without Gylfi Sigurdsson providing the ammunition. He's relying very much on Ayew, who's only scored twice in his last 25 Premier League games. And Tammy Abraham is still learning. I mean, he's netted four times in the Premier League, and he is their main threat. There's no two ways about that, because scoring goals is their problem this season. Abraham is providing that outlet, but they're just lacking that quality that Gylfi Sigurdsson provided. And therefore, though he's done some really good work at the back, going forward, they're looking a little bit short. And he's going to have to try and deal with that, I think, in January. And it's like there's a lack of money when you consider what they receive for Gylfi Sigurdsson. So I'd expect them to spend to look at how they can improve themselves going forward. But up until then, I think Clement said, actually, if we can be solid away from home, and then we will win some of our home games, because it's fairly intimidating. Accommodating place to come, then that will see them through. But I agree, they'll be there or thereabouts, the bottom three at the end of the season.
Arsenal-Swansea, it is our feature match from 6pm on Dubai Eye 103.8. Just team news, Adam, any shocks in the Arsenal or Swansea lineup?
No, not really. I think Swansea are going to go with three at the back today. I think they're going to match up against Arsenal because they've brought Van der Hoorn in. So I expect them to play with a three as well. And for Arsenal, they're unchanged, obviously, from that victory over Everton, which means the likes of Walcott, Giroud and Wilshere are on the bench. So there's plenty of strength there, should they be required. But it'll be fascinating to see whether the likes of Ozil, Sanchez and Lacazette can be quite as devastating as they were against Ronald Koeman's side last Sunday, which ultimately cost Ronald his job.
Well, looking forward to it all. Adam, thank you as always for your insight this afternoon. Enjoy the game, Adam. We'll be tuning in from 6pm for your commentary.
Cheers. Thanks very much, boys.
Big thanks to Adam Bridge there. As Chris was saying, listen from 6 o'clock for live commentary of that and all the goals in all the other 6 o'clock kickoffs as well in the Premier League. Let's just hear from those two respective managers. Let's start with Arsene Wenger, the home manager, ahead of this Swansea game, saying that his team been boosted by their performance, their recent performance against Everton.
Look, Norwich played very well defensively, and we struggled to create clear-cut chances, and that will certainly be the target for us. We created good chances against Everton by playing at a high pace, so the focus will be to put a high pace into the game and try to create chances and be positive again. We should have a little boost in confidence with the number of goals we scored at Everton, but we need to be on our highly focused. This is an important game for us.
And now to the thoughts of the Swansea boss, Paul Clement, saying that they need to be patient and then results will come.
We're on a run where we haven't picked up a massive amount of points. Last season, went through a run of six games and picked up 1 point during that period. A lot of talk of, you know, Swansea are going to go down. It was being said by pundits, by media, by ex-players. And then we went and won four out of the last five games, and the other result was a draw at Manchester United. Okay, so I've been around this game long enough to know that you've got to keep level-headed, that there's always good moments around the corner, assuming that you remain positive and you put the right amount of work in and you stay focused.
Hey, you listen to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Dubai Studio City this afternoon. Back at Barasti next week between the hours of 4 and 7. Do stay tuned if you'd like to send us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Get involved by texting on 4001 or drop us a line. Elaine, take your calls on 04-423-1010. Let's take a short break. When we come back, more build-up ahead of our 6 o'clock kickoffs and all the other news in the world of sport.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
Bring you some live updates from the boys, keeping an eye on their respective sports. Let's start with the football goals. Chris McCarthy.
Yes, into stoppage time in the early kickoff in the English Premier League. It is Manchester United against Tottenham, and it is Manchester United 1, Tottenham 0. Anthony Martial off the bench to score what looks to be, I don't want to tempt fate, but it could well be a huge, huge winner for Manchester United. It will close the gap to their City rival City to 2 points. City, of course, in action against West Brom from 6 p.m. this evening. In Scotland as well, it's a win for Rangers this afternoon, a win 2 for Valencia, 2-1 victory for Valencia. It keeps them unbeaten in La Liga. It closes the gap to Barcelona to just a point at the top of the La Liga table. Rangers were 1-0 down against Hearts. They are about, though, to close out a 3-1 victory into stoppage time in that one. Kenny Miller levelled things up. He then got the second after 65 minutes. Josh Windass adding a third. Manchester United as well making their final change. Matteo Darmian and coming on for Ashley Young. We're into the final 60 seconds or so of that one, so I'm keeping up to date with that. I'm also keeping you up to date as well with the Championship early kickoff on that one. It's also into stoppage time, and all Yorkshire clash this Sheffield Wednesday against Barnsley, and it looks to be heading towards a 1-1 draw. Adam Reach had given Sheffield Wednesday the lead, but Harvey Barnes, wonderfully named Harvey Barnes as well, he plays for Barnsley. It was he that levelled things up, and that one looks as if it is headed for a draw.
Right, we are. What's happening in the rugby? Marky Archie?
Yeah, early kickoff in the French top 14. It's Toulon taking on Brive, and it's Toulon who have scored the early try, but they're also at the 10 points to 3 up after 30 minutes. So 10 minutes to go to half-time. Toulon 10, Brive 3. A couple other matches will be underway later in the top 14. Three matches in the Aviva Premiership. Quins are taking on Worcester. Northampton at home to Wasps, and Saracens face London Irish. And then later on this evening, four matches also in the Pro 14.
Golf, and Dustin Johnson has extended his lead to 6 shots after 3 rounds of the WGC Champions over in Shanghai, the world number one. Carded a 4 under par 68, which included 7 birdies, a bogey, and a double bogey to move to 17 under. As Archie was saying a little earlier on, seems to be something of a one-horse race at the moment. DJ in prime position.
Finished today 4 straight birdies for a 63. I guess this place suits your eye.
Yeah, it does. Today was, obviously I played very well today, but you know, I actually got a putter like about 20 minutes before I teed off. It was a Spider, so it's one that I've used before, but I wasn't really pleased with the one I played with yesterday, so the guys here in China made me one. I got it right before I walked to the tee. I hit a few putts on the practice screen with it, and I was like, oh, this will work pretty well, and went out and I holed a lot of putts today, so kind of like it.
So what was wrong with the other, and then all of a sudden you go to a new one, and as soon as you got on the putting green, you go, oh, this is it, I've got the feel for it?
Yeah, well, I was coming from the range when I grabbed it, so it was about literally 15-20 minutes before I teed off, hit a few putts. I was like, yeah, it felt good, it's going where I was looking, so put it in the bag.
You're a past champion here. You know, there's 24 under you shot a few years back, I remember that, that was just awesome. How much can you drag off being a past champion at a place?
Yeah, well, it helps. You know, this is a golf course that I enjoy playing. You know, it suits my eye very well. You know, it's still, though, you got to drive it well. For me, if I drive it good out here, I feel like I can make a lot of birdies. You know, the par fives, you know, I can reach all the par fives if I drive it in the fairway. You know, so those are where I got to attack those. And then, you know, the rest of the holes, you know, if I feel like, you know, if I'm in the fairway, I can attack the golf course.
You've had a few weeks off. You've come here. Good year. How important is it for you to finish this year with a W?
It's always important to get a win, no matter what time of year it is. But you know, for me, it's kind of the end of the year, but it's also the start of the 2018 season. So, you know, it'd be really nice to get off to a good start.
Manchester United have taken the points in the early kickoff in the Premier League. Let's stay with the golf, though, because that's obviously taking place over in Shanghai. There is golf closer to home. Chris McCarthy?
Yes, there is. The RAC Golf Challenge has come to a conclusion in the past hour, and I can say it's a massive congratulations to Jens Dantorp, the Swede. He has taken victory, forced into a playoff with the Pole Adrian Meronk. I can tell you what a way as well to win a tournament, because Jens Dantorp an eagle on the par 5 18th in the playoff. Adrian Maronk with a birdie, but an eagle to take victory. Both men finishing on 15 under par, one shot clear of Clement Sorde. I can tell you as well, Chase Koepka, brother of Brooks Koepka, the man who has done so well in the world of the PGA and on the main tours this year. He had a wonderful tournament as well. He finished down in 15th place, I think it was, in total. Yeah, a tie for 15th, 10 under par for he. So Chase Koepka, a name to keep a very close eye on in the future, I'm sure. But it is, this afternoon, a huge congratulations to the Swede, Jens Dontorp, because he has won the second staging of the RAC Golf Challenge down there at the Alhambra Golf Course in Ras Al Khaimah.
Let's hear from him now.
We'll be joined by the winner of the 2017 Ras Al Khaimah Golf Challenge, Jens Dontorp. What a way to win it, first and foremost, Jens. Talk us through the closing stages, the regulation birdie, and then what happened in the playoff.
Well, yeah, I was not aware of that 15 was the mark. I actually thought that 16 was the mark, so I was going for an eagle and to get into the playoff, and then I came up to green and realized 15 was the mark. So I had a putt for a win, and the only thing that I had in mind before the shot was Henrik Stenson's shot in Dubai a couple of years ago. If I could repeat that, I knew I would have a pretty good chance of the eagle, but second time I pulled off a bit better. The first one wasn't too bad, but the second one was probably the best shot of my career, so yeah, that felt amazing.
Wow, because Adrian had already put it on the green in two. He put you under pressure. To see it kick off that bank, how good a feeling was that, and run up to 5 feet?
Well, I just saw it in the air, to be honest. I didn't see when it pitched, so I didn't realize. I just heard the crowd go crazy, so that felt pretty good. Should be a good omen. So,
and speaking of omens, you're up to 17th in the Road to Oman. I believe that's your third European Challenge Tour victory. How much confidence and momentum does that give you going into the finale with a chance now on the line? With one more good week, you'll have a European Tour card next season.
Yeah, obviously I feel very excited for next week. I've been playing well there in the past. This year I'm coming in with a little bit better... I'm better on the rankings, so to say. So feels very inspiring going back to a place where I know I've played well in the past. So really looking forward to that.
And do you feel like this could be a breakthrough for you in your own career?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm gonna stay and do whatever I do, and I've done in the past to come up to this win. So. I believe in my game, and I know I can win it a couple more times out here, so looking forward to that.
Well, Jens, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Sports Tonight's Robbie G talking to Jens Dontorp there, the winner of the RAC Challenger up in, you guessed it, Ras Al Khaimah. Thank you very much indeed to Robbie for that one. Mark Archer in studio with us. He's been up nice and early watching, which game is it? Game 3, isn't
it? Game 3 of the World Series, yeah. The first two were in LA. It's the Dodgers, of course, who won the National League. The LA Dodgers taking on the winners of the American League, the Houston Astros, who are sentimental favourites for a lot of neutrals because of the issues, the floods in Houston early in the year. Houston are undefeated at home during the playoffs. And this is, Tom, what happened in Game 3 in the early hours this morning. The series was tied one apiece until this morning's action.
Yuli Gurriel to start the second. And that's ripped deep to left field. And you can kiss that one goodbye. Into the Landry's Crawford boxes. Yuli Gurriel with his first postseason home run. And it's 1-0 Astros. Darvish looking for his first strikeout. Gonzalez looking for his second or third or fourth RBI.
And the 1-2 on the way, and a swing and a high fly ball, pretty well hit. Left center field, Taylor back, jumps, and it's off the wall. Raddick is around third, coming home. Gattis will stop at second, and Houston's got a 2-0 lead.
2-2. And McCann lines it in the right center for a base hit.
Gattis is getting the wave around third. Puig's throw to the plate, not in time, and it is 3-0.
Alex Bregman has 7 RBIs this postseason. First and third, one out. That's in the center. It is caught, tagging, coming to the plate. Gonzalez throw, too late. 4-0 Astros. 1-0. And Altuve rips this one deep to left center field, and that ball is off the wall.
Double by Altuve that was hit like a rocket as they continue to knock around Yu Darvish.
And the hits just keep on coming. for the Astros, their fifth hit of the inning.
Dave Roberts is going to come and take Darvish out of his misery.
So at the end of game three, that leaves the series at
2-1
now. Okay.
2-1 to the Astros after game three this morning. They won that match 5-3, and of course they've taken the lead at home. Game four is tomorrow morning, again in Houston. Game five is also in Houston, and if the series is still alive in the best of seven series, it does go back to LA for the final two matches. But it's concerning times for the Dodgers. They were the best team in the regular season, but both teams, Houston and LA, won over 100 games in the regular season, so the Dodgers went into the finals as slight favorites. Now the manager for, and it's worth pointing out that Emirates Airline, of course, are good sponsors of many sports around the world, but they're also sponsors of and partners with LA Dodgers. I'm guessing now wishing it goes back to the LA Dodgers. They'll get more recognition there with their logo around Dodger Park. But let's wait and see. Game four tomorrow morning. Dave Roberts is the Dodgers manager, and this is his concerns about how he's going to get the team motivated for game four when they trail 2-1 currently to the Houston Astros.
Dave, can you talk about the pressure that goes into game number four?
I think we just got to go out there and pitch well out of the gate. Obviously, this crowd is into it, very educated, very enthusiastic, and they've got some confidence over there, that team. And you know, it's up to us, up to Alex to go out there and set the tone, get a quick first inning, and get us. You know, bats got to come alive and keep getting guys on base, getting that big hit. But I don't think we see it as pressure. It's just going out there and just trying to play a good, clean game.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right, let's just bring you up to date with those full times. Full time in the Premier League, Manchester United have taken the points there. They beat Tottenham Hotspur by 1-0. Shared points, 1 point apiece in the Championship. Sheffield Wednesday against Barnsley finished 1-1 there. Northampton Town have just taken an early lead against Blackpool in Sky Bet League One down in the UK. Early kickoff there. And result up in Scotland as well. Rangers might have a few problems off the pitch, but a good result for them, Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, very good win. A 3-1 victory over Hearts this afternoon at Tynecastle. Hearts took the lead through the former Gers striker Kyle Lafferty. Kenny Miller brought in from the cold after the sacking of Pedro Chiquinha. He levelled things up just a couple of minutes before the break. It was he that was again on the score sheet after 65 minutes. And then Josh Windass, son of Dean Windass, former Hull City, Middlesbrough and Aberdeen striker, he then added the third. A good win that for Graham Murty and Rangers. Graham Murty doing his hopes of keeping that Rangers job long term no harm whatsoever. So a big win that for Rangers. Of course, they are still playing catch-up. Celtic out in front at the top of the Scottish Premiership. They're in action this afternoon against Kilmarnock, but Rangers, with that result, jump up to third, 5 points behind Celtic, 2 points behind Aberdeen, but haven't played a game more.
Valencia remain in second position in La Liga. Why? Because they beat Alaves in the early kickoff over in Spain. Atletico Madrid against Villarreal is up next. That one at 8:30 this evening. It's just kicked off down in the German Bundesliga as well. Just work through those fixtures for you. No goals to report as yet, but they've only been playing for 4 minutes. Bayer Leverkusen taking on Cologne. Hanover at home to Borussia Dortmund. Hertha Berlin taking on Hamburg. Hoffenheim take on Mönchengladbach and Schalke at home to Wolfsburg. Bayern Munich, who are back on track. They're in action little later on against Leipzig. That one's an 8:30 kickoff. So keep an eye on all of those for you, and we'll work through some of the other big games in Europe in just a few moments' time. Let's just turn attention to the cricket, though. Mark Archer's got the latest for us.
Yeah, well, there was international limited overs cricket last night down in the capital, Zayed Cricket Stadium. Pakistan wrapped up the T20 series, a thrilling 2-wicket victory with one ball remaining. They chased down the score of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka batted first, scored 124 for 9. Pakistan got over the line with two balls to go in the match, 125 for 8. The third and final T20 International is back in Lahore, Gaddafi Stadium, tomorrow. Congratulations to have international cricket back in Pakistan, and a lot of credit must be given to the Sri Lankan players that are heading down there for that match. There is a one-day international tomorrow in Kanpur. It's the third and final ODI between India and the Black Caps. Series nicely tied up at 1-1 there. Good win but in the first match by the Black Caps by 6 wickets, and then India struck back in the second ODI by 6 wickets. So all to play for tomorrow in Kanpur. And the big news, Tom, in Test cricket is the England depart to Australia today to go down there for the Ashes series. First Test match is about a month away, so they have three to four weeks acclimatising, playing first-class cricket. First Test match, of course, is at the Gabba in Brisbane. And one man who's not talking up England's chances too much is your good friend, Kevin Peterson.
been on the last tour down under, the way that the Australians, how positive they were, how aggressive they were, how much they whacked our spinner, how Jimmy Anderson kept getting hit for six. I mean, Swan got hit regularly on the last trip, and I know that Lehman will probably tell them to do the same to Moen Ali, and Moen Ali's half the bowler of Swan. It's not like I'm saying they're going to get absolutely hammered, because I just think that for some strange reason they're going to. I think to back up a statement like that, you need to just look at the batting order, and without Root or Cook, that batting order is incredibly weak. It's incredibly inexperienced. Opening batting with Cook, that worries me. Three worries me. I think Root should bat at three. Five worries me. Six will worry me too if Stokes doesn't go. People say, yeah, but one bloke doesn't make a team. Well, I mean, one bloke who bowls 140 kilometres per hour, gets wickets, gets important wickets, a guy that can hit 100 of 70 balls, hit 200 of 200 balls in a test match, and also, more importantly, catches everything at slip off the spinner, is a massive player. A massive, massive player.
KP off the Christmas card left with a few more of the England players.
Yeah, it looks like he was just doing the team speech for England, wasn't he, there in terms of motivational talk by Kevin Peterson.
I should have opened the bowling, I should have been first change, I should have done that, I should have kept wicket at the same time.
Not giving the Englishman too many hopes was Kevin Peterson, but one man who really does, a lot of the hopes do rely on, is the captain, one of the best batsmen in the world, Joe Root. Well, he's optimistic heading down under to Australia. This is what he had to say as the team departed today to head to Australia for the 5-test match Ashes series. 28th of October, yes, they're on their way.
Wow.
1 month away from that first test.
I wouldn't say that...
It's the Joe Root rap. I quite like it, actually.
I wouldn't say that that's exactly how I go about it. You know, it's a competitive sport. Everyone, you know, goes out there desperate to do well, desperate to win, but I wouldn't ever... You know, refer to it as war. I think that's a bit extreme. I mean, you know what you get with Davies. What you see is what you get. He's passionate. He wants to do well for his country. And it's going to be a very entertaining series. I don't think it would be a miracle. Look around the dressing room. Look at what guys have done across not just this summer but previous. We've got, you know, England's two most successful bowlers in Stewart and Jimmy, leading run scorer in Alistair. We've got some guys who are desperate to come and stamp their mark on Test cricket if they've not played before, and then we've got a group of players in the middle there that are continually improving, you know, getting better year on year, and are ready to go to Australia and try and prove to that part of the world that you know they're some of the best players in the world.
It's weird how they've been completely written off this early in the game. And I mean, I know that it's not the strongest of squads, but equally, Australia haven't had the best of form going into this series.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say both teams have their weaknesses, particularly in the batting. England still haven't nailed down that opening spot. There's still a thought of that concern around who's going to bat three. Should Root bat three, stay at four? So there's a bit of concern around the English top order. And then I guess the same can be said for Australia. They have got some players cemented in. We know David Warner's going to be there. We know Steve Smith's going to be there. But they've trialled many players in their batting order in the last couple of years, and they've yet to find consistency and stability really in their batting lineup. I think it's fair to say that the Australian have a slight edge on bowling, particularly in their home conditions. We know how good Mitchell Stark will be. We know how good, you know, the other pace men are going to be for the Aussies. There's not a lot of spin bowling between the two. Nathan Lyon will do a holding job in some of the test matches for Australia's. Moen Ali will come in and do a job for England. So the big factor is still the missing link, which is Ben Stokes. And it's such an unfortunate for the series, for the neutral fans, for English supporters, that Ben Stokes looks so he's not going to take part in the series. As it stands, we know there's the high profile incident took place a month or so ago. He's still under investigation there with all the sort of ongoing police investigations into that incident in Bristol. So Ben Stokes for me is probably the best cricketer, the best match winner with bat and ball in both teams. He's a guy that can turn a game with the bat. He scores at run a ball, but he also comes and picks up handy wickets. He's a wicket taker. He's got that X factor with the ball. So very interesting to see how England can adapt their lineup without Ben Stokes. But it will be fascinating cricket. It's always compelling viewing in the early hours of the morning through till lunchtime. Tom, I'm sure you'll be in the studio with doing your show at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you come on now. And the Ashes will be live on the big screen there. So looking forward to it. First Test match gets underway in about a month's time at the Gabba. And of course, they go through then to the Wacker and then down to Adelaide. I think there's a day-night Test match, and they finish up with the Melbourne Test match, and then on to Sydney for the final Test match. So looking forward to it. Five Test matches is always compelling viewing. The Ashes, one of the iconic series in world cricket.
3 minutes and counting to the Currie Cup final. Sharks planning to keep faith with the winning template as Western Province chase their 34th success in today's Currie Cup final. Kicks off at 5:45 local time here in the UAE. Sharks have only lost only two fixtures this season, though crucially most recent defeat was at the hand of their opponents here today. It's going to be some big hits in that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, big match in the Currie Cup final, of course. A lot of eyes now look at Super Rugby, but again, they had the NPC final, which is the New Zealand domestic competition earlier today, that Canterbury defeated Tasman, and then the final of the Currie Cup, which is traditionally their premier sort of provincial competition in South African rugby, and two great teams there taking place. Was it Western Province and the Sharks from Natal? So yeah, will be fascinating viewing if you're from the Cape or from the coast of up there in Natal.
Autumn internationals getting away next weekend, as Archie was saying. England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales have all announced their squads. A number of talking points through those squads as well. And more so than the England squad, Exeter back row Sam Simmons has received his first England call-up. But experienced flanker James Haskell has been left out of Eddie Jones' 34-man squad for the Autumn internationals. Sail wing Denny Solomona is included with uncapped Marcus Smith and Zach Mercer as well, picked as apprentice players. After being suspended for the matches against the Pumas in Australia, prop Joe Marler has been left out. England face Argentina on the 11th of November before playing Australia and Samoa. Will Greenwood, former England centre and a World Cup winner back in 2003, thinks this is a strong squad.
Surprises might be some names that you haven't heard of, but not necessarily if you watched England play Argentina in the summer. They went over there with a bunch of rookies and a bunch of kids and Dylan Hartley and the senior players alongside Dylan Hartley, Mike Brown, Joe Lunchbury led the side wonderfully well, and a load of lads who hadn't had any caps had a few caps were quite fantastic. Slade was brilliant, so we'll see Henry Slade of Exeter absolutely in that midfield mix. Harry Williams, the tight head, will come into the mix. Dan Cole's put a massive shift in for England, 75 caps, and will still do a lot, but you need to find that backup number three worth their weight in gold. Charlie Yule's in the second row. It's a tough gig in the second row. I'm going to miss someone out, but Laws, Launchbury, Cruz, Itoje, try breaking into that four. But Charlie Yule's of Bath was excellent in Argentina and has been continuing his good form back home. Billy Vunipola injured, Jack Clifford injured. Opportunity in the battle run. We're waiting on Nathan Hughes' sighting results to come through. Richard Smith QC will be grafting away to get him off as well, but that will open the door for Zach Mercer or Sam Underhill, two Bath players who've been rotating in and around that back row. Underhill was the kid who couldn't be picked for England last year because he was playing in Wales, even though he was in Wales because he was doing a university degree. But now those laws allow him to play, so I expect some game times for those. And one perhaps that I hope gets a nod, because he was picked, Rocco Degooni. He had a short amount of time. He was dispatched saying you've got to go and work on your game. But Eddie has shown that players who go away, work on their game, improve, have got another opportunity. Samisa Rokodunguni of Bath, they thought there was a defensive weakness. I think his defensive reads now, his ability to see what's happening in front of him, is much, much better. And what he has not lost is the power and the pace to score a hatful of tries. So the Brown-Watson discussion at fullback, I think they'll get one game each and decide who plays in the third. May, brilliant, 9 tries. They're calling him Johnny Vardy. Jamie Vardy playing at Leicester, so can't stop scoring. Yeah. So really exciting squad. A really good autumn. There's always that slight disappointment when you're the second best team in the world and you haven't played New Zealand since 2014. But enough of the Lions lot were English, and they've just scratched away at this invincibility surface that the All Blacks have by beating them there. So, confident squad, looking forward to a great autumn.
This is The Grill, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Stay tuned because you've got Arsenal against Swansea City coming your way in around about 11 minutes time right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Straight after that at 8.30 this evening, you'll also have live coverage of Bournemouth against Chelsea. That one's kicking off, as I said, 8.30 this evening. Let's hear from the home manager now. Eddie Howe wants his players to cement their places in his starting 11.
This season we have a strong squad and I think that was shown this week. I think we have an evenly balanced squad. I don't think we have an 11 that picks itself at the moment for different reasons. I think we have a very good group of players who, when performing well, give me a lot of selection headaches, and hopefully that continue throughout the season. They're the challenges I want to pick a team with everyone playing at their full potential. Still don't think we have that quite yet. Hopefully we're building towards that.
Meanwhile, Antonio Conte, he takes his team to Bournemouth, down to the south coast. He says that they've been unlucky throughout the season with some unfortunate injuries.
We have to try to overcome this period, because don't forget that from the start of the season, we faced a lot of problems. And we started this summer with Hazard's problem. And then we continued during the preseason against the Pedro problem. And then we continued with Danny in the first week that he started to train with us. That with N'Golo during the international break, a bad injury with the national team. And then also with Moses. I think that our start in this season wasn't lucky.
Those are the thoughts of Antonio Conte. I'm glad that that was the clip that played out and not some of his comments that came out in the post-match the post-match conference last week. Did you see that one? He just lost the plot completely.
He's not a happy man, is Antonio Conte. We talked about it on Monday Night Football, Tom. Something not right at that football club. I don't know.
Start swearing halfway through a press conference.
If you're Antonio Conte, you can, it seems. But yeah, Chelsea, that is a difficult match that tonight. Bournemouth haven't been playing well. Chelsea would expect to go down there to the Vitality Stadium and get a victory, and they need one. With United winning, I expect City to get a result at the Hawthorns. Chelsea cannot afford to drop any more points.
We've also got Liverpool against Huddersfield. Interesting this one because two German managers coming together.
Yes, two very good friends as well. Jurgen Klopp and David Wagner, known each other for a very long time, so a lot of smiles and a lot of back patting, I'm sure, on the touchlines this afternoon. But I've got team news for this one. Liverpool need to bounce back after that 4-1 demolition at the hands of Tottenham last weekend. Simon Mignolet keeps his place in goal. There was some talk that maybe Karius would come in, but Mignolet starts. It's a back four of Joe Gomez, Joel Matip, Dejan Lovren, Alberto Moreno. Midfield three, James Milner, Jordan Henderson and Jorginho Wijnaldum. No Philip Coutinho. It is a front three of Mohamed Salah, Daniel Sturridge and Roberto Firmino. For Huddersfield, well, no surprise to see that David Wagner has stuck with the same sort of system that got that fantastic famous result over Manchester United last weekend. It is Jonas Lossel in goals, Tom Smith, Matthias Jorgensen, Christopher Schindler and Chris Lowe across the back four. Midfield two of Daniel Williams and Jonathan Hogg. Then comes the attacking trident of Van La Parra, Aaron Moy, and Thomas Ince. And then leading the line will be the Frenchman, Laurent Depoitre. So it is a big game this for both sides. I expect Liverpool to bounce back and get the 3 points.
Let's hear from the Huddersfield manager first then on this one. He's been saying that he wants to take the same mentality into this game that they did last week against Manchester United.
I said this last week, and this is exactly the same next Saturday. I cannot expect a result from my players. I can expect that we hope and believe that we are able to get a result, and I expect that we try everything with the highest fighting spirit, with the highest togetherness our group can deliver, and this is what we like to do.
Meanwhile, his compatriot Jurgen Klopp's looking for a reaction after their surprise defeat last weekend.
We worked more, of course, because we had the time for it, and we will, so we have still today one more session, and yes, of course, you have to react on the things which happened in the last game or in the last games or whatever. And so, of course, we did it, but it's not. I cannot make the last game bigger than all the other games, but of course, it was the freshest impression, if you want, and didn't feel good after the game. It was, we said everything about it was not enough. It was, we have to show more in pretty much each department, and so that's a fact. And so, yes, we worked on it, of course.
Mark Archer's got team news for you ahead of some of the other kickoffs. Let's go to Watford, Stoke City. You lucky old thing, you.
Yeah, Watford flying high. It's sixth place in the Premier League. You could probably argue that the most improved team this year in the Premier League after battling in relegation last year, well up to the heady heights of sixth. Stoke, on the other hand, 17th, one place above the relegation zone, equal with Everton on points, only 8 points after nine matches for Stoke. Watford will be without their playmaker Roberto Pereira on Saturday because of the minor hamstring injury. Just running through the starting 11 for Watford: Gomes in goal, Firminia, Cabasele, Britos, Holibas, Kapoe, Dancor, Carrillo, Cleverly in midfield, and Richarlison and Deeney, Troy Deeney, up front for Watford. Stoke, Butland in goal, Zuma, Shawcross, Vimmer, Duif, Fletcher in midfield, the Scot, Alan Peters, Shaqiri, Sobri, and Chopo Moting for Stoke. So important match for both these teams, particularly Stoke, really under pressure there at 17th position in the Premier League, underperforming, and you could say that Watford, I think it's fair to say, overachieving so far this season. They'll be happy to pick up any points and just get the 40-odd they need to stay out of relegation for next year. But Stoke and Mark Hughes under pressure, really, at 17th. Talk about the pressure on Everton. We saw the team just below them on goal difference lose their manager, Ronald Koeman, this week. How long will Stoke be patient with their manager?
Let's wait and see. West Brom take on Man City. Team news, Chris McCarty.
Yes, I've got it. Let's go to the home team first. Ben Foster starts in goals. It's a back three for West Brom this afternoon. Gareth McCauley, Ahmed Higazi and Johnny Evans. Then across the midfield, it'll be Alan Noyme on the wide right. Wide left will be the former Arsenal man, Kieran Gibbs. Tight midfield three of Jake Livermore, Gregors Krakowiak and Gareth Barry. And then it will be a front two for the Baggies, Jay Rodriguez and Jose Rondon. For Manchester City, the big team news is that Sergio Aguero, he must contend himself with a place on the bench. It's Ederson in goals. It's a back four of Kyle Walker, John Stones, Nicolas Otamendi and Fabian Delph. Midfield three, the best player in the Premier League for me by a country mile, Kevin De Bruyne, alongside Fernandinho and David Silva. And then it will be an attacking three. No Raheem Sterling, once again, he's left on the bench. It will be Bernardo Silva, Leroy Sané, supporting the wonder kid that is Gabriel Jesus, the young Brazilian. Expecting a City win, looking forward to this match. It all gets underway in T-minus 6 minutes.
Talking of managers under pressure, keep an eye on Crystal Palace against West Ham this afternoon. Heads could roll at the end of it. Big news for Crystal Palace: centre-back Mamadou Sakho is missing from the squad, presumably injured, we think, replaced at the back by former Hammer James Tompkins. James McArthur is also missing from midfield. He's replaced by Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Other than that, though, it's the same side that lost at Newcastle. Wilfried Zaha up the top and Andros Townsend providing attacking support. As to Slaven Bilic, has turned to some of the members of the team that came back from 2-0 down to beat Tottenham in the Willy Calabero Cup a little earlier on in the week. Mark Noble captains the side from midfield. Andy Ayew, scorer of those two goals at Wembley, is up front. Pedro Obiang, Marko Arnautovic are the men to make way. Michael Antonio has also been suffering with a rib injury, is on the bench alongside Andy Carroll. So Edmilson Fernandez starts for the Hammers. Lanzine Hernandez and Ayew all up front for the Irons. That one's coming your way. Well, we have goals on that one as and when they go in. We're out of time. We've got to go to our live commentary of our feature game, which is going to be Arsenal against Swansea. Points going which way on that one, fellas?
Arsenal for me. Arsenal will get the 3 points there.
Yeah, I think Arsenal have too much.
Stay tuned. You will find out. Adam Bridge is your match commentator from all the team down here at The Grill. Thanks so much indeed for joining us. We're back, as I said, next week from Barasti. New times as well, 4 till 7. Make sure you join us then. Until then, enjoy Arsenal against Swansea, followed by Bournemouth against Chelsea, live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Bye.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai Eye Sport.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.